Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. And if you think I talk fast in the past, this is going to be lightning speed today because I decided, hey, let's take a look at what's going on news-wise. Maybe cybercrime took a day off. Sadly, it did not. There are way too many stories. I cannot get to them all. So I highly suggest that you have a host of different sites you can go to see what the cyber news is of the day beyond just this podcast. If you'd like my particular list, I have like 18, 19 websites that are basically my go-tos that I get most of these articles from. I'm sure I'm missing some. So if you have a special website you like that has cyber news or cyber intelligence, let me know. I'll add it to the queue. But today I got seven stories. I want to get right into it. I'll do my thanks and all that stuff at the end. So let's start off with a couple. This is probably the worst one of the day. I just caught this one as I came in to sit down and do this, but this is from darkreading.com. Robert Lemos is reporting, and as always, all of these articles are linked in the show notes, so you can go read more of it. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm not going to read all these articles. I'm just going to get the gist of it. Shared access signature SAS link exposed a storage bucket with 38 terabytes of private data, including passwords, Teams messages, and the backups of two Microsoft AI research employees' workstations. Well, that is not good. An overly permissive file sharing link allowed public access to a massive 38 terabyte storage bucket containing private Microsoft data, leaving a variety of development secrets, including passwords, team messages, and files from two employees' workstations accessible to actors. Cloud data security firm Wiz issued an advisory on that incident, which it said originated in the use of Microsoft Azure feature known as Shared Access Signature Token, which allows users with a link to access an otherwise private data repository. So there's a lot more to this. You can go look at it. Obviously, I'm not going to talk all about this, just to make the point that here's the problem, right? We talk about cybercrime. We talk about hackers. Hackers are not that, bad stuff happens not because there's these smart guys out there that are finding vulnerabilities and exploiting them. And that's not really true. They are finding vulnerabilities and exploiting them. And this is the vulnerability. People don't take cybersecurity defense seriously, and they leave stuff like this token available for anyone to go look at. 38 terabytes worth of information. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. And Microsoft. I mean, how Microsoft stays in business? Well, because they've cornered the market, but it is craziness that there's not more lawsuits that target Microsoft for all this stuff, but yeah, whatever, I'm digressing. But anyway, so go look at that article. It's, again, that dark reading. I'm probably going to post a specific article on this on LinkedIn tomorrow, on Tuesday morning, this morning at some point. So take a look at that. All right, this one's because I just like to bitch about the government. Cyberscoop.com. White House grapples with harbinizing thicket of cybersecurity rules. Christian Vasquez reporting. I apologize for the dog bark in the background. The regulatory road to harmonizing regulations for 16 critical infrastructure sectors is a long and treacherous one. I enjoyed my dog back there. So I'm going to actually probably pause right here real quick. I'll cut this piece. I'm going to shut the door, see if that works at all. Okay, so back to the Cyberscoop article. Pour one out for cyber bureaucrats in the Biden administration. No, do not pour one out for cyber bureaucrats, for God's sake. In recent weeks, the White House has embarked on a dizzying task. Oh, but this guy, holy crap. Trying to harmonize the exceedingly broad number of cybersecurity-related regulations and technical standards set by industry that corporations and critical infrastructure operators must abide by. Now, I will say this. There certainly needs to be regulations and rules and stuff like that. Relying on the government to come up with all of them, probably not the best way. There should be a partnership between the private and public sector to figure out ways to do this the best, but I digress. This monumental task is likely to span years, perhaps even administrations. Its outcome has the potential to radically reshape cyber policy and regulation for 16 critical infrastructure sectors, assuming it gets done. Now, that's the point, right? So here's the first problem. Span years across even different administrations. Forget it. It's never going to do anything. We have had this conversation since computers began living. Well, not living, but began living in our lives. We've gotten nowhere. There needs to be some kind of soapbox time. There needs to be some kind of shared responsibility between the private sector, public sector, sharing intelligence, coming up with things that make sense. Having just the government or just even the White House come up with on their own, stupid, dumb, never going to work. Never, ever going to work. And I'm getting all riled up here. Apologies. So go look at that if you want to just get angry like myself. All right, this is Lena. I always like to talk about China hackers because they do something almost every day. Ars Technica reporting. This is Dan Gooden is the author. Chinese hackers have unleashed a never-before-seen Linux backdoor. So all of you who love Linux think you're awesome and safe, here you go. Researchers have discovered a never-before-seen backdoor for Linux that's being used by a threat actor linked to the Chinese government. The new backdoor originates from a Windows backdoor called Trotulus, which was first seen in 2015 by researchers at Arbor Networks, now known as NetScout. They said that Trotulus executed and ran only in memory, and the final payload never appeared on disks in most cases. That made the malware difficult to detect. Indeed, researchers from NHS Digital in the UK have said Trotulus was developed by APT10, an advanced persistent threat group, linked to the Chinese government that also goes by the name Stone Panda and Menus. Depending on who you're talking to, they have different names. So now, in June, researchers from security firm Trend Micro found an encrypted binary file on a server known to be used by a group they'd been tracking since 2021. And this one, obviously, is now in Linux. The Linux malware ported several functions found in Trotulus and combined them into a new socket secure implementation. The Trend Micro researchers eventually named the discovery SpriSox, with Spry denoting its Swift behavior in the added SOX component. So again, you can read more about this. There's a lot of good information here about what the message ID is, what the note means, and some other stuff about this. Real quick, it's a quick read. But again, China is the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to coming up with 0 days and doing stuff that no one knows exists, at least now. No longer, it probably may still be a 0 day if no solution has been solved for that. But I'm just going to assume the open source community will come up with a way to shut that back door. But Lord knows how long it's been around doing its thing. So again, China still winning. As we talk about advanced persistent threats from bleepingcomputer.com, Bill Tolis reporting, APT36 hacking group known as Transparent Tribe has been observed using at least 3 Android apps to mimic YouTube, to infect devices with their signature remote access Trojan called CapraRat. Once the malware is installed on a victim's device, it can harvest data, record audio or video, or access sensitive communication, essentially operating like a spyware tool. APT36 is a Pakistan-aligned threat actor. That's, you don't hear about that a whole lot, but not surprising. I mean, there's probably APTs for every country. We just haven't named them all. But anyway, this one, they're known for using malicious code or laced Android apps to attack Indian defense and government entities, those dealing with Kashmir region affairs and human rights activists in Pakistan. So that's really kind of the key here with this is if it's Pakistan-oriented, is probably targeting India for the most part. If you see an Indian APT group, it's probably targeting Pakistan. But all that being said, not to say that this stuff will not make its way to the general hacking community to be used by other nation states, other criminal plays. So just, again, be aware of how the reason I do this podcast is to make you aware of the different threats out there. Don't go into great depth about what it means and stuff like that, but just try to give you a focus on things to be on the lookout for, things to be paying attention to, because bad stuff is happening. And, you know, if you like YouTube, if you got bored of work and you're looking at YouTube and you have the wrong, you know, Android app to watch YouTube, then you're going to have a problem. So again, be aware of it. Be vigilant of those apps you download onto your phone, especially Androids, because they are a little more susceptible to compromise. From the Hacker News, Retool falls victim to SMS-based phishing attack affecting 27 cloud clients. So here we have 27 countries that were victimized by a cybercrime entity, and it's had nothing to do with them. Software development company Retool has disclosed that the accounts of 27 of its cloud customers were compromised following a targeted and SMS-based social engineering attack. So again, not complicated. You get someone to click on a link in a text message, for God's sakes. So the San Francisco-based firm blamed a Google account cloud synchronization feature recently introduced in April 2023 for making the breach worse, calling it a dark pattern. The fact that Google Authenticator syncs to the cloud is a novel attack vector. Indeed. What we had originally implemented was multi-factor authentication, but through this Google update, what was previously multi-factor authentication had silently, to administrators, become single-factor authentication. Retool said the incident, which took place on August 27th, well, let's rephrase that. Probably they should rephrase that when they discovered it on August 27th, did not allow unauthorized access to on-prem or managed account. It also coincided with the company migrating their logins to Okta. Okta has a whole host of issues themselves, which we won't get into any depth here. And this all started with an SMS phishing attack aimed at employees in which the threat actors masqueraded as a member of the IT team and instructed the recipients to click on a seemingly legitimate link to address a payroll-related issue. There you go, people. Now, IT team, who's that sound like? MGM, IT team. Again, not complicated. They're getting human error to do this kind of stuff. And here, actually, on this one employee fell for the phishing trap, which led them to a bogus landing page that tricked them into handing over their credentials. In the next stage, this is even better. The hackers called the employee, again posing as an IT team person, deep faking their actual voice to obtain the multi-factor authentication code. So basically, they went in, said, "I'm going to send you a code." They send them a code. They had the code. They put it in. They got access. So that's kind of how that works. So again, educate your people. That's the only way this is honestly ever going to work. And even then, you have to kind of make it persistent. As we're talking about multi-factor authentication, I mentioned this particular article, not to dig into it deeply, but from Cyber Defense, but something you should read by Ori Arbel, who is the CTO of Cyberbro. I don't know idea what that is. Multi-factor authentication has been an authentication standard for nearly all types of businesses. It goes back to 1986. It gives them a history lesson. But now we have what he's calling MFA fatigue. Like any security paradigm, MFA is not foolproof. And that's really the case, right? I talk about having multi-factor authentication enabled all the time, and you should. But as we saw in the last article I just mentioned, threat actors can get around multi-factor authentication with stolen credentials and smartphone spoofing and all that kind of stuff. So it's not foolproof. Still better than nothing, but it's not foolproof. So one of the most common types of social engineering MFA attacks is the MFA fatigue attack. The incident of these attacks are on a precipitous rise as users continue to fall victim to fake login approval requests. So again, you want MFA to work, yet it's still not worth. So he gives five tips to how to counter it. Strengthen employee education. Yes. Tighten authentication regimes. Yes. Adopt double authentication. So consider requiring users to first log into a VPN using MFA, and then again use MFA to get into the application or resource that they require. Yeah, that might be a little, for small companies, that probably ain't going to work. But add number matching to authentication requests and add additional context to push notifications. So obviously there's a lot of things you can do, but still comes out of that first one, strengthening employee education. But now he does say MFA is not dead. I agree with that. But take a look at that, cyberdefense.com. And lastly, theme bleed is another reason to patch Windows quickly. So malwarebytelabs.com. This is Peter Arntz reporting. Included in the September 23 patch Tuesday updates was a fix for a vulnerability, which has been deemed theme bleed. A proof of concept exploit has been released by Gabe Kirkpatrick, one of the researchers acknowledged for reporting the vulnerability. So in this case, bad guy didn't find it. A white hatter, found it and released it. So it's CVE 2023-38146. It's a Windows Themes remote code execution vulnerability. And there is a patch for it. Obviously, let's see if it talks about what happens if it doesn't. It doesn't really say what it does, but probably bad stuff. So you're going to want to make sure. Oh, actually, and Microsoft assigned it an 8.8 out of 10 as from a severity rating. So that's not good. It says an attacker would need to convince a targeted user to load a Windows theme file on a vulnerable system with access to an attacker-controlled SMB share. So, essentially, it's a Windows theme file where you can change what the theme of your Windows GUI looks like, kind of thing. And these are compromised, and it gives a bad actor access. So be careful where you're downloading your Microsoft themes or your Windows themes. Again, more information there if you want to read about it. So busy day. Sorry, I'm already almost up to 15 minutes. Apologies for those who want a short one, but again, there's so much cyber stuff going on. It is crazy. So I'm going to dispense with a whole lot of the, hey, thank you for downloading, all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll do more of it tomorrow. As always, you can follow me on a multitude of different platforms. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Substack. Look for The Cyber Guy, cyber spelled C-Y-B-U-R. Thanks so much for listening, downloading, spreading the news, because cybercrime never ends. And as always, go and research more, read more of the articles if you want more detail on some of this stuff.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.